F1, number 14A.
Now we come in the story to the fourth subject of principle, where he shows now that by turning to God, the correction takes place, just as we had it in Joel at that point. Jonah now is willing to go to Nineveh and preach there. See, that unwillingness has been broken now to a certain extent. And so the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. See, he had to preach that which God wanted to preach him. That's always difficult. To be willing to do that which God wants us to do. That's very difficult. Because we like to do that and say to God, help me to do what I want to do. That's the difference, you see, between a word approach and a Christ approach. In the Christ approach, we are not asking how it should be done and where it should be done and who should do it, but where we just listen until God leads the way, and then we just can't do anything but capitulate under it and say, all right, I go with you. See, like Isaiah said right at the beginning, you see, I said, Lord, send me. Whatever has to be done and wherever it will lead me, all right, I go with you. See, so he had to face that proposition. And he didn't know what God wanted him to do yet. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And then when he was there, he had the demand and he cried, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But the people of Nineveh, to Jonah's great astonishment, repented. He didn't expect anything like that. See, the whole prophecy of Jonah is always wants to show this, that if we are not completely willing to go with God, that things always happen differently than what we hoped it will happen, or what we think should happen, or the way we believe it has to happen. Always goes differently, and then we say all has gone wrong, and yet all has gone well. The only thing that has gone wrong is our unwillingness to go with the principle of being. So he cried and said, Nineveh shall be overthrown, and nothing of that sort happened. Nineveh repented. Everybody in Nineveh repented. The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth. And even the king of Nineveh covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now historically, never something like this happened. It's just a story. It's just an illustration. But it's something that happens in our life over and over and over. And that's the important thing about it. And so the king and his nobles, they all proclaimed the decree that every man and beast should cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way. You see, we have a great sense of reformation taking place and repentance. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. So the moment one turns to the Lord, then naturally the Lord can no more than something evil to us. The Lord can never let us down in our sins anymore. That's how the Bible says the Lord repented. Naturally, the Lord never repents anything which he has said, but it appeared to the relative in that way, that always as we take the standpoint of principle, we begin to see that all is in order, that nothing disharmonious can anymore happen. So we see that by turning to God, the Ninevites were saved. Now what did Jonah about it? So we come to the fifth subject of life. We get here that sense of life by grace versus life by one's own merits. See, the commentary said quite rightly that Jonah was that prophet which comes nearest to the New Testament, because in Jonah he is not only the missionary, the only missionary prophet of all the prophets who does some missionary work, which is the work of the New Testament, but he had to learn the sense of grace, that everything we get by grace and not by personal merits. And you know how in each one of us is still that Old Testament sense in us, that we think we should get things on the basis of our merits. Is that a true expression, merit, in our own merits, you see? That because we have been very good, good boy and good girl, we really should get heaven. And that because we have been good to our neighbor and good to our cat and never have done this and that, that we really are entitled to get heaven, to go, come into heaven. But the New Testament says it's all by grace. It's grace. It's not by the merits of one's own work. And here he begins to see, well, to be face to face with this new sense. So what he says here, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. See, his sense of the Christ was that the Christ should destroy, whereas what is introduced here is that the Christ does reform. And he had to learn that. So he was very angry about it. And he said, he just said, well, I knew you would do that, Lord Almighty. That's just the reason why I didn't want to go with you and didn't want to obey to you. He said, therefore I fled before thee to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. He said, because I knew that life is gracious, and that God works as grace, because I knew that I didn't want to be in the picture, I wanted to see that Nineveh destroyed. It's my enemy. It's the old enemy of Judah. And it should go down. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. And it is better for me to die than to live. Well, we see in human life, and in the practice so often, that people resist, that the problem is worked out the way God wants to work it out, because they think that's too much to stomach for my personal sense. I rather want to die, or I rather want to see things go flop, than to see that the other one is right, or that I have to change. They resisted and rather preferred doom before reformation, before humbling themselves and bring down the pride of life and say, well, all right, I was a fool. I did wrong. Yes, I see now that I was on the wrong track. Yes, I see I have done evil towards the other one, that I wasn't just to the other one, this and that. The pride just doesn't want that to be broken. And so they say, well, then I go to the end of it, rather than to give in. That's Jonah in us. That's the Jonah. He prefers to die than to see Nineveh saved. And we come to truth, and Jonah has again, beats again another sense of the Christ, of Christ's mercy. Namely, Jonah has now his own personal sense of right, and his own personal sense of a savior. And he doesn't want to bend his knee before the true savior, the only savior. Then said the Lord, "Dost thou well to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city, and then you know how he made him a booth, and he sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of that city. He said, "All right, I get out of the city, and I just watch now what will happen with that city. Anyway, I'm out of it." He always wants to be out of it, you see. He never wants to be in the world and with the problem and say, "I'll work it out." So the Lord prepared him a gourd. Is that the right pronunciation? A gourd. And that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. I think that Lord was mighty good to him. He said, you go out and you shun to handle the situation and you escape it, and yet I'm going to be merciful to you. I'm going to give you some shadow so that you can stand the heat. And Jonah was exceedingly glad of that gourd. And he thought, that's only right. See, that's only right. That's what should happen. After all, Jonah said, I'm a prophet. After all, I am a Jew. And I have a Lord God Almighty. And that Lord God Almighty has to look after me. And it's only right that he does. Well, that's the way we think so often. But then he got his lesson. And he didn't have to labor for it, you see, it just was given to him. It was again mercy. And he said, that's all right, mercy is all right for me, but not for the other one. Not for Nineveh. But God prepared also a worm that smote the gourd, that it withered. And the Lord also prepared a vehement east wind. And when the sun beat upon his head of Jonah, he fainted and he wished to die. See, always when the battle gets hot, he said, oh, I wish to die. I don't want to be. He just didn't want to face error. See? And he didn't want to face error, and he didn't want to have grace and mercy towards anybody and see not destruction but redemption is the right method. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. See, he had a personal sense of the Savior. He said, that's all right that God saves me and gives me a gourd, but it is, and gives it me by grace without my own merits. But he didn't want to, he rejected that Nineveh should be saved, and so he felt that it wasn't either right if he shouldn't be saved. So he goes to the last point of love, where he shows, where the Lord shows that his nature is universal mercy and that is the answer. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right and their left hand, and also much cattle. And then he ends. The most commentary says, well, it's funny how these things end. They most think something has been left out here. You see, it just ends because it seems that there is no solution to the whole problem of Jonah. There is a solution to Nineveh, to the problem of Nineveh. There is a solution to the problem of Nineveh because God is always at the helm of everything. And God says, I don't care about Jonah. I don't care about Jonah's resistance. I care about my idea. And therefore I do everything to save Nineveh. If Jonah is for it or against it, that's not so important. But we see then in the next prophet, in Micah, how through that sense of Jonah, where he just saw that he cannot resist God, that through that understanding or through that insight, that then Micah shows that everything which resists in us falls, and the true sense of manhood is being born. Now, before we go to Micah, just let's now see, after we have seen the story of Jonah, what he wants perhaps to show. First, we can see, if you analyze the whole story, that Jonah rebels. The Jonah in us who rebels against the word of the Lord. Against what? He rebels against God's plan of salvation. He is not in agreement to how God wants to work. You see, that's what happens with us, you see. We somehow like God and like to study God. And we like to know what God is. And we like the Word of God. We study the Word of God and say, God is mine, and God is the ideas of mind and spirit, and the ideas of spirit. And we love that. But in life experience, we think that our life is planned out in a way which we don't like. And then we say, that's wrong. Whereas if we would see now, you see, if we would go from the Word to the Christ and see consciously that whatever is going on is just this Word, this Word of God translating itself to each one of us and to the age in which we live and to each individual, therefore that this Word has a Christ and that it is our job not to resist, to be at one with the way God wants to work out things. We rebel against it because we have, like Jonah, our own sense of right and wrong. We have our own sense of how God should work out our life, how God should work out the world condition, how God should work out any problem which we meet. That's what we have when we are staying only in the Word, from the Word standpoint. When we are there and try to work out the problem only from the Word standpoint, then we are there where Jonah is. Jonah says, well, I have my own sense of what should happen to Nineveh. And if God does not work it the way as I deem it right, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I get out of the presence of the Lord. And so what is needed really there, you see, is that courage, that humility, that trust, that we say, all right, I go with God. I go with God and I trust that God has a Christ and that the way that God works it out is all right, even if it displeases my human sense, even if it goes against my sense of right and wrong. And so we begin to see that Jonah was asked to have a lot of courage, of spiritual courage. That he has been asked to have an enormous lot of confidence and trust in God, hope and faith. Jonah means, translated into English, dove. And Mrs. Edith interprets dove, among others, with hope and faith. And that's exactly what Jonah has been asked to have. Because he hasn't been asked to do something out of himself. It was, as we have seen, always God at work. God was always that who was doing things in that whole story. But he was asked to have trust in God's working and to have faith in God's working, though he couldn't see that it was right. According to his sense, what the Lord was trying to do with him was always wrong. Right through every one of these of these seven subjects, he always felt what the Lord was doing was wrong. And how often do we have that sense? That things don't work out, we say. And usually it is that they would work out that way if we would accept it. We only have a human sense of right and wrong and of working on the letting things work out. And because we have a human sense, we resist it. We resist it. And therefore, because we resist it, there comes a crisis, like in Jonah's life. There comes that constant sense of being against God and wanting to die and wanting to get out of the picture and so on. Well, that's no solution. So, let's see what metaphysically the problem is. I think metaphysically we could say that Jonah's problem was that he was not willing to wed the Word with the Christ. He was a prophet because he knew God. He knew something about the Word of God. He knew, as he says himself, he says, I know you are great, I know you are merciful, I know you forgive, I know all that, you see. But the way you are going to, the Lord is going to use those qualities, that's not my cup of tea. I don't want to have it. I resist it. He didn't want to wed the Word with the Christ. And this is the Jonah in us, which time and time again we find in ourselves. Time and time again. That we may have a vision, that we may see clear about something. But then, are we going to say with Isaiah, here I am, Lord, use me. Something in us says, that's too uncomfortable. I'm not going to let be used by God. And we don't wed the Word with the Christ. And we don't, and therefore, if we don't let ourselves be used by the Christ, we are never one with God. Then we can say day in and day out, we can say principle and idea is one, that's wonderful, and we can say God and its idea is one, and God and man is one. What's the use of it? That's just a statement of the Word. If we then are a Jonah and just resist that we are used by this idea. And so we only do the job God wants us to do if we are willing and humble and trustful and have enough faith and confidence that if we lean completely on the infinite, without having any more one's own stand, and one's giving up one's own basis, one's own human basis, and one's own human strength, and one's own human sense of right and wrong, and one's own human sense what we want to achieve in our life, and completely lean on the sustaining infinite, so that the whole weight is given really to the Christ, then the Christ can use us, and not before. Then the Christ can really bring out our true individuality, our true mission. But that needs a dove, hope and faith, needs trust in it. And so, through the seventh subject, God wanted to break in Jonah that unwillingness to wed the Word with the Christ, and to show him that God is going to work his idea out in spite of Jonah's resistance. Jonah resisted to go to Nineveh. Well, God had a method to bring him to Nineveh. So the first three subjects, you see, mind, spirit, and soul had the power to break through, again through affliction, to break the resistance in Jonah and to bring him to Nineveh. Then, when he was in Nineveh, Jonah again rebelled against what should happen in Nineveh. And again, that was broken because God says, I don't care what you do. I am going to have mercy on it. And you can't forhind them. And you can't stop it. You can't stop it. You can't hinder it. I am going to have mercy on those thousand and thousand. Just as I have showed you, Jonah, that I have mercy on you and give you the gird and my shadow, so I'm going to have mercy on everybody, and you can't hinder it. You can't stop it.